Well, good evening, and greetings in the precious name of Jesus. We truly have a reason to be here because of Jesus, right? That is why we're here. And appreciate those thoughts that our brother shared there on revival, and that sort of, we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more here. But I bring you greetings from Victory Chapel. That's where I am from, and I feel like I don't know many people here either. I knew a few faces, and that's about it, but I used to go to church with Greg, but other than that, I don't know that I know too many of you. I know some faces and know some names, but I hope to learn to know some more of you as we go throughout the week. So we come from a small church in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, north of Lebanon County. A lot smaller than this, 50, 60, something like that. It's a church out. It was an outreach church a couple years ago, and so we're still in the baby stages, I guess you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. But we like our little church. I'm thankful to be here. Thankful that God has blessed us being here. I have I have a wife. I have a wonderful wife. Her name is Lisa, and she could not be here. Normally she goes along, but this time it just didn't work out. So hopefully she can come later in the week. We have 7 children, 2 girls, and 5 boys. So our house isn't necessarily always quiet. If you know what boys do, but girls do too. So our oldest is 23. She's serving in Ireland right now, so for 2 years. So she's not around. We have one girl that gets a little... She gets picked on probably pretty often by the rest of the boys, but we have. I'm thankful to God what God has given to us. 3 of those children work with me in the hardware store, so that's sort of a family job, if you want to call it. There, I guess we're probably a normal family. I don't know. I guess you'll probably find out as we go throughout the week. But same trials, same temptations. Busy as ever, your life just goes a whirl, right? That's just the way things happen. And you come to a week like this, and you want everything to just like slow down. At least it was for us. 2 weeks ago, we had revivals at our church, and it seems like everything happens then. I don't know if the devil tries to do that or what happens, but maybe God just wants to test us. Do we really want to be here, or what's happened? So, God bless you for being here this evening. And I trust this week that God will have a message for you. And you can look beyond me and my failures and my weaknesses, but you can see God and what God wants for your life. I stand before you quaking and trembling, and as I was sitting up here, just when I came up here and sat down, I'm like, oh, God, why did I do this? It's just scary, all these people pouring in here. But God wants to use me, that's fine. But, you know, God wants to speak to me too, probably. And he wants to speak to you as well. I know he wants to speak to me. So, I want to present God's word this week. It is truth, it is life, it sets us free. I appreciate the thoughts that our brother shared. Revival, and we'll look at that a little bit here this evening. I'm glad to say that when I come here, I don't know many of you, so I don't know many of your struggles, but I imagine you're pretty normal like the rest of us. And so we all face different struggles, but you know, we all face the same enemy, but we all have the same God, right? So we're thankful for that. So my desire is that I would inspire you this week, that God would inspire you through me. And I guess, yeah, like we talked about here in revivals, we think of revival as a time when we are refreshed, when we are prodded, when the God's Spirit comes and prods us maybe, and whatever required, maybe some strengthening and lengthening of the stakes, and maybe some confessions, whatever God leads us to do, let's be open to that, right? You know, preachers like me, I need that as well in our life. We live in a busy time. And I want to be open to what God has for us. Just on yesterday, in our Sunday school class, we have Christian Light, CLP Sunday school. And it was talking, and it was reading, the lesson was taken out of Acts. Acts 16, this verse caught my mind. Acts 16, and this is the story where Paul and Silas were put into prison, right? Because they were preaching. And verse 25 says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, and if you can put your mind there, just remember, think a little bit how this was. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And I don't know what that was like, okay? You can just imagine a little bit. We can spend a lot of time on this. But I would like to just liken that a little bit to a time of revival. That maybe God is going to just shake this church a little bit, right? Maybe loose some things up and open some doors and maybe cut some bands, some things free, whatever that is in my life, in your life, whatever that is, that God would do that in our lives. So God, we need to be open to him and see what he wants for us in our lives. We need a little shaking sometimes. If God's spirit wants to upset our basket, then God's going to, that's allow him to do that, right? And we want him to do that. Each evening, I'd have a little short pre-sermon talk here for the children, and I brought something along here. I'd like to talk about something before I show it to you. So you children here, this is for the big children too, but for you children, I'm going to talk about an animal here. We're a little science class here, boys and girls. This animal class is usually fairly small. A lot of times you maybe could see it along the road or maybe even dead along the road. Our brother talked about that, but sometimes, most times it runs on four legs. Sometimes it sits up on its back and looks around and, what class of animals is that? What is it called? It begins with an R. What do you think? Rodents. We don't maybe call them rodents, but rodents are a lot of ugly animals. Groundhogs is one of them, right? Rodents. Now I want to talk about that a little bit here. There are some lessons. Yeah. Rodents, according to the encyclopedia, are mammals, usually characterized by a single pair of continuously growing teeth in the front there, right? Some big teeth. That, they like to bite on a lot of things. Upper and lower teeth, and those teeth just continue to grow and grow and grow. And the more they chew, they just wear them down. But if they didn't chew on anything, those teeth would just grow and grow. Right? Some ugly looking animals. It's said that 40% of all mammal species are rodents. So I'm just going by what it said here, but they are found in vast numbers on all continents except Antarctica. So I guess Antarctica is just a little too cold. If we don't want to have any mice or rats or anything in our house, well, I guess we'll move to Antarctica. But they're very diversified and can live in a variety of habitats, including man-made environments. What are rodents? Well, they're mice, rats, squirrels, prairie dogs, chipmunks, porcupines, beavers, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils, all those type of things that like to bite you, I think. But most rodents are small animals with robust bodies, short limbs, and what do they usually have? A long tail, right? Almost all of them have a long tail. The beaver has a big fat tail, but most of them have long, those long black little tails, right? They use their sharp teeth to gnaw food and excavate. Groundhogs, they use it to dig, and their teeth and their claws they dig with. They usually tend to be social animals, so when you find where you find one, you find more, right? You usually don't just find one groundhog. Before long, there's more groundhogs, but if there's one mouse in your house, there's probably more mice in your house, right? And they have ways of communicating with each other, which I don't understand exactly how they do that, but the brown rat, the black rat, and the house mouse are serious pets, and they eat and spoil food stored by humans and spread diseases, and they destroy a lot of things, right? Some rodent species are serious agricultural pests, eating large quantities of grain and things like that. In 2003, there was a little statistics here. In 2003, the amount of rice lost to mice and rats in Asia was estimated to be enough to feed 200 million people. That took a lot of rodents to eat them, but they did. They ate it up. The most worldwide damage is caused by rats and mice. In Indonesia and Tanzania, Rodents reduce crop yields by around 15%, but in some instances in South America, losses have reached up to 90%. They just, when there's an infestation, it just goes wild. And for this week, we'll probably mostly focus on rats and mice. And I brought a little play one along here that I brought. And you know, I don't know if you guys like rats, but I don't really like rats. We don't have black rats in our at our place, but we have gray, usually it's the gray rats. Brown rats, I think, is what you have probably. But I didn't have a little mouse. But mouse are just sort of the same. I think you can easy step on those a little easier. But rats, I don't know. I've been attacked by them already and things like that, and I don't necessarily like rats. But how many of you like rats and mice? Not too many, at least not on the ladies' side. You know, I've heard lots of screams by ladies that saw a mouse, and it's just, you know what, it's sort of silly, because it's a little thing, right? But there's something gross about it, right? There's something ugly about it. And we don't care to sleep close by them. No, I don't know why, because it's just a little furry creature. This thing should have a little hair on, but they are really nice, silky hair on them when they have, if you ever felt them. But many of you probably somewhere in time, maybe not. If you've always had a brand new house, maybe you never did, but they get into brand new houses too. You heard them probably scurrying across the attic or across the up the walls or wherever, different things like that. And it's just something you don't really like. And you know when you sometimes we see droppings in the manure in the shed or the barn or cellar or the garage floor, or, you know, that's not too exciting. That's outside, right? But when Mrs. Lehman pulls out a drawer and the silverware's in there, or the kettles or the pantry or someplace like that, and that stuff's in there, or there's a chewed flour bag or something like that, then the war is on. Because we don't like mice or rats in our house. And I hope, I don't know that we ever had rats in our house, but I know some people have had rats in our house. We've had mice. Mice are small and they're not too scary, but they're actually maybe sort of cute if you want to think of it. Though. Little ears and little beady eyes, whatever. Rats, I don't think they're actually pretty good jumpers. I've seen them jump pretty high. But they won't carry you off. They're not big enough to carry you off. I did have an employee one time, many years ago, a Spanish man worked for us. And he used to work at an iron ore mine in Lebanon there, Rexmont, and he was sure, he said he had rats that were big enough down there in that mine that they hauled off with his lunch kettle one day. And I said, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but they were pretty big. They must have been iron ore breed or something, but they were big. They were the rats. Rats are big and they can do a lot of the damage. A couple years ago, one of my employees was driving her few month old pickup, brand new Chevy pickup. She was driving it and she just happened to look down into her console, center console, and this cute little beady eyes were looking back at her out of this console. And she screamed, she said, she yelled, she said, you stay right there, you stay right there. And she kept driving all the way home. She was about 2 or 3 miles from home. She got home, she's pretty dramatic. And she said that mouse stayed right there peeking at her the whole time till she got home. Probably mesmerized it, but I don't know. But she finally got home and she set a trap and she caught it. So why so excited about these little things, right? They're just little things. What does it matter? Well, because if left go, it can do a lot of damage. And we'll look at that here. You know, we all know the disgust of a room or a closet or a drawer or something that's infested with mice or rats and the urine that's in there and the stink. I'm sure you all know what that's like. The trash, the holes, and everything that they can to destroy things. So we're going to think about that a little bit more. Think about mice and rats. I'm not going to talk any more about it tonight, but throughout the next couple nights, we'll probably look at a few more things about what lessons we can learn from them and how. I'm maybe going to call them rodents of the heart. And we'll look at some of that and how they really do. I had some pretty firsthand experience with rats that I can, we can talk about that a little bit more. But so we'll let that go for there for now. and see what God has for us tomorrow night. For our message this evening, I'd like to, and our brother talked about it here right away, I'd like to talk about prayer. I'm probably talking to a church that is on fire, and they just pray every hours on the end on throughout the day, and this is just great. That is wonderful. But I am sure, I am pretty sure that probably you're like me, and sometimes we can just grow a little cold, and we don't grasp always. We do. When we have a week of revivals or something like that, and we're here, I'm here, and I prayed a lot, right? But it can go throughout life, and we just like, we go through life, and we sort of forget the connection that we need to have with God. The prayer life that is there, that is very important. And my title this evening is, for revivals, we need to, and Ron jumped right into it here, but the title I have is Prayer, the Key to Revival. It is the key to revival. It is the answer. Prayer is to address a solemn request or expression of thanks to a deity or other object of worship. It's a verb. It's an action. Things that it takes some work. It takes some action, right? There's things that happen. Webster says to entreat, implore, to make a request in a humble matter, to address God or a God. So you can pray to other gods. Obviously, it's not going to help anything. With adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. Obviously, we're talking about prayer to our God, the God, right? And we have the term key. We all know what, I didn't bring any keys along here this evening, but we know it takes right keys to turn the lock, right? It takes right keys to make it happen. It takes right key to start a vehicle, right? So prayer is the key, the answer to revival, the start of revival. I think it needs to start with that. Revival brings to bring life again, to renewal, maybe a rebirth, regeneration, a return of strength or importance to. Prayer is the admission that I have a need and I need God to help me. And the answer is in Him, and I need to call out to Him. True prayer is the open admission that without Christ I can do nothing. Without Him, we are doomed. An expression of faith is in God's power, fueled by desire for more of Him. And I know this evening, probably as we talk about prayer, at a couple different messages that I thought about preaching on prayer, and I finally settled on this one. But there's a lot of things, I think, because we're coming into revival, prayer is very key in this. Because God wants a people who are open to Him, people who are seeking Him, people who are, and the only way to seek Him is through prayer, right? As we reach out, we cry out to Him. But there's a lot of things that I will just scratching the surface on prayer, right? There's a lot of things that we can go into. When's the best, the quality of prayer, the time of prayer, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. But as we think about prayer, we need to think about who God is. Do we really understand who God is? And I will look at this some other times here, probably, maybe, this evening, throughout the week. But none of us has seen God, but we've seen God work in our lives, right? I hope we have. Or we've seen God working around us. We've seen God. But do we really understand who God is and what He wants, what He is capable of doing for me? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." That's God that we serve. That's the God that we pray to. That's the God who is the answer. That's the God who has the answer to life. A great and wonderful God, a creator, sustainer, a God who can do anything, who knows all things, He sees all things. His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, His purity, we could just go on and on and on all the rest of the week, right? Talking about God. But why so often do I think I can go through life without talking to this God? Or using Him as a back burner God. That's maybe sounding too blunt, but sometimes that's the way it is, right? In our life, we think we go through life and we think we can figure, Jonathan can handle it. He can figure it out. He's got to figure it out, right? But you know what? We can't. We need a God. We need God. We need God, number one, for salvation. Number one, so that, for salvation, so that you and I can have eternal life, that we can be with that God, the God, someday, right? Our God. And that is, do we understand his, as we pray, as we think about prayer and we understand who God is, do we understand his hatred of sin and his holiness? And what all he has, his punishment of sin, his eternal damnation to the sinner. And the what we need to, well, our responsibility. But you know, that God, with all the different things that I talked about there, that God is interested in me and you. Wherever you want to classify as wherever God is, sits on the sides of the north, wherever that is, up in heaven, that God is here. And that God, his spirit is here, and he wants to know each one of us personally. That is a blessing to me. And many times we, you know, God's trying to call me. He calls us, and he calls us, and calls us. And many times we don't answer, or we don't talk to him. Turn to John 14. We're going to start with a verse there. A lot of verses this evening, and I don't know. I have way too much to talk about with prayer. I'm going to have to do a little bit of chopping here. But John 14, we have this, for starters. Just Jesus talking here. And he says in John 14, we have a lot of promises that he talks about here in John 14, but he goes in verse 12. I'm going to start verse 12, 12 to 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And we have this passage here. Jesus says, if any ask anything in my name, I will do it, he says. And we can right away run with that and was like, wow, God, you can do anything I want, right? Yeah, I want this, I want that, I want a new Chevy pickup, I want this and all these things, right? But, or maybe you ladies, you want a new kitchen, you want to do this and that, whatever it may be. But God doesn't operate like that. You know, he says, if you ask anything in my name, in Jesus' will, in the will of Jesus, but... And so it starts with us understanding God's will and his plan and his understanding, having the Spirit of God inside in us as we ask him for things. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, God doesn't give us everything, obviously, that we want, that we ask for. And I'm thankful that he doesn't. We would be a wreck if that was the case. God doesn't do that. He, you know, my dad didn't give me everything I wanted because he knew it was for my own good. And I'm thankful for that. He couldn't have even if he wanted to, probably. But, you know, God does that. We should pray, Lord, just help me to be more what you want me to be. That's what we desire. Our desire more of what you want my life, a renewed, on fire for God, a renewed life that's on fire for God. He answers prayer if we ask in sincerity. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. What did he say? We often call that God's telephone number, right? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And as we live our lives and we call upon God, as we go throughout this week, and we call upon God, God will show us great and mighty things. Some things maybe that we don't always understand. Some things maybe that he's going to take us sometimes places like, why am I challenged with this? Or what is this, God? What are you trying to say? As we reach out to him even more, his spirit unveils and opens and shows us what it is. Imagine God saying, if you would just call, just ask. How many times have you told a friend, you know, close by, hey, anything, just call me. Just call me. I'm right here. I'm only a phone call away, right? That's God, right? God's there. And many times we say, you know, I'm trying to figure it all out myself. And here at Cornerstone, what does he want to happen here this week, this year? Make it personal to your life, in my life, my church, my family. What does he want to happen in my heart this week? And if we call upon him, he will answer. He will give us what we want. He will give us the desires of his heart. And he will inspire us and lead us. He gets personal. He says, call unto me and I will answer. I'm glad that we can call upon a God anytime. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. This morning before the alarm clock was screaming at us, God was there. God was there listening. You know, in the middle of the night, too, he's still there listening. When you're tossing and turning and you can't sleep and you're thinking of all the 3,000 things you got to do the next day, God's there. He's listening. And we need wisdom. He's there. We can listen. Or he can listen to us. He wants to listen to us. He will listen to us. That's our God. He's always there. An attentive Father listening to our cry every day, morning, noon, and night. Turn to Luke 11. I'd like to look at another verse there. The challenge that I have, or that it was a challenge to me. We have Jesus and his disciples here in Luke 11. And they saw him pray many times. They saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him, how he looked up to heaven. He spoke to his Father. They saw him go apart to pray. And here was the Son of God. I believe he was the Son of God. But here he was God himself on earth. And all the miracles and the power, and he spoke with authority. Why would someone like this even need to talk to his Father? Well, he did. There was a connection that was there. And after being with this, they observed something about Jesus, his prayer, the prayers that he did. And they asked a very honorable question in Luke 11. And I don't know which disciple it was. You just wonder sometimes which one it was. But it says in Luke 11, verse 1, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, so he's praying there, and he stopped praying, and he ceased. He said, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, you may say, well, we've known how to pray ever since we probably could talk, right? I don't know. Our parents taught us to kneel down beside our bed, and we prayed, and we could pray the Lord's Prayer in our sleep probably. You know, we can... So what's he saying? Teach us how to pray. Well, I think he's teaching them to pray. You know, we've all been born. We know how to pray, right? We know how to go through the motions of prayer. And God is not looking for right phraseology or the right words or the right whatever all, but he's looking for a heartfelt prayer, a prayer that comes out of our heart. And I think that's what the disciples were trying to understand. I believe they heard Jesus pray and they could tell that this was made an impact on his life and it made something different in his life. Lord, teach us to pray. And I think if we have that desire throughout this week, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to, in a heartfelt, honest prayer to God, asking him to fill us, to change us, to open us, to speak to us, to whatever that may be in our heart. An honest prayer, not petty, repetitious prayer, but an honest prayer. A prayer of need, a prayer of faith, a prayer of the heart, of submission. As I thought about that, you know, if we are defeated in a certain area, if our prayer life is lacking, we are very easy prey for the devil. We become worn down spiritually, and we become lukewarm and cold and sinful heart. I believe that can happen. We're full of sin. This has a lot to do with revival. You know, we must remember that prayer is one of the best sources of direction and power. And Ephesians 6 would talk about this. I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but you have the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And he goes through that all. And then he gets towards the end there and he says, pray without ceasing. Putting that all together I might just turn there, Ephesians 6 quick here. He talks about it here in verse 18, praying always with all, he finishes it all out, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he continues into that, like putting it all together, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And we could keep on reading there, but praying always. Praying. So I thought about that. Praying always. In our life, you know, we need spiritual power. We need holy divine power. At least I do, and I'm sure you do as well. If we are strangers to prayer, we will lack the spiritual strength to overcome the wiles of the devil. And I think we understand that. If we are a stranger to prayer, then we are a stranger to power. If we're a stranger to prayer, we're a stranger to power. And there are many Christians today, sometimes even myself and probably you as well, that we become anemic, lacking force and vitality and spirit. And we struggle, we call it, right? Is this really what God intended for a Christian? No, I don't think so. I know not. But you almost every time, you can mark it down, that a person grows cold or he becomes a little lax or they become weak or their Bible reading, you know, is just becoming a little boring or a little out of formality. Maybe church life becomes a little dry or relationships are suffering and things of the world become more appealing. What is happening? Their prayer life probably has either slowed down or has almost stopped. And you can mark it down almost every time. In my own life, that's what happens. And when you're talking to people, that's what happens. Prayer is the key to revival. Prayer is the key to power, spiritual power. Another important thing of prayer is in Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1, we have, I like this verse here. It said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." I don't know how many of you have ever fainted. I don't know that I have ever fainted, but some people do. They faint very quickly, and then, you know, you see whatever it may be. But he contrasts praying and fainting. For some people, you know, it's just a matter of maybe they get too hot or, you know, they see a little bit of blood and bang, they're out, right? They fall right over. A good scare maybe and they're down. And I think a couple years ago we had some fainting goats, right? And you escape and they fall right over. That's sort of funny, right? But you know, in the spiritual life, things like that can happen. We have things that come along in life that shake us, right? They jolt us. And God says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't fall over and faint over it. God's looking for not fainting people, fainting Christians. He's looking for praying Christians, people who are alive. That is the spiritual. Pray and not faint. Do you ever faint spiritually? I hope not, but sometimes that happens. What does it mean? Well, faint means to be weak and weary, maybe to short out, I think the dictionary said, to short out, give up. When the tempers flare and the patience runs out and the words fly and the attitudes rise and pride and rebellion and envy and whatever all may happen, and we sometimes faint. Have you spiritually fainted recently? Maybe we do struggle with fainting. I don't know what you think, but is our prayer life alive and well? Think about that. Many times, folks, it's our last resort when it should be our first resort. Many times we hear people in turmoil, struggling. Maybe it's finances, it's health, and moral failures, or relationships, fear, whatever, you name it. And you hear them say, well, maybe we should pray about it more. Well, yeah, we should. God help us if that would be our first response when we go to and we think about it. You know, the devil is our adversary, is always pleased when God's people don't pray and forget to pray and become bogged down or sidetracked with the blessings of the country that we live in, the society that we live in. He's pleased with that, if we can become just sidetracked with those things. Why? Because he knows that prayerless dads and moms, prayerless families, prayerless churches, prayerless young people, prayerless outreaches and missions, prayerless revivals, things aren't going anywhere then. He knows that. And he loves that very much so when that happens. He's done this over and over for thousands of years, and he knows that it works. And probably the most vital place that he attacks is the prayer life of the believer, I believe, very, very quickly. And it works for him. Samuel Chadwick wrote, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." And I don't think we can quite understand that as we we need to grasp that, that prayer is something that can send the devil fleeing. Very important that we understand that. You and I need Jesus every day. And you thought of this song. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was full of sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life gets dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. You know, we leave sometimes. A couple times I've left my home and I've realized that I forgot this. And I turned around. I might have been a couple miles down the road, and I turned around because I needed my phone, I thought. But how many times, and I think probably some of you have thought the same thing. We need our phone. We think we need our phones very much, right? It's sad, but that we live in that society. Well, how many times have we turned around? I forgot to pray this morning, God. I need to go back to my room and pray. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And I think it's very important that we remember that. He knows it. He knows that we need him. We just need to recognize that and understand that. You know, there are some conditions for prayer. God will not answer if, number one, if there is sin in our heart, known sin in our heart. Obviously, we know that. There are things, sin, if you will, that need to be dealt with before God will answer. He will hear. However, thank God he does hear the sinner's prayer, right? And thank God for that. But that is a prayer reaching out for faith, in faith, asking God. But if we try to hide sin or we keep something in our hearts, well, Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that's an awful thought as you think about that, God not hearing us. Almighty God, a God who cares about us, but if we choose to regard iniquity in our heart, it doesn't matter what we say to him, he's not listening. He says he will not hear. If I regard or allow anything in my heart. We probably heard that there are three answers to prayer. God says yes, no, or maybe later, right? Others suggest that maybe sometimes there's a thing in there where he says, well, I can't, because you have something in your heart. And that's serious when you think about that, as God wanting to hear our prayer, but if we have something in our heart, he's like, he can't because of the holiness of who he is. Is your heart clean, or are you hiding sin there? As we think about that, stubborn, hard-hearted, you know, we think about that different times. Rebellion, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, whatever, idolatry, envy, sowing discord, whatever it may be, disobedience, selfishness, all kinds of different things that are there that can be in our hearts sometimes. Number two, another reason would be is instability or double-mindedness. And James 1 talks about that, James 1 verses 6 to 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we say, what's double-minded? Well, the Bible talks about not serving two masters, right? And sometimes we can switch back and forth there maybe sometimes. Self for God. And we'll maybe look at that another evening here. But wishy-washy, moody, self-indulgence or gratification, whatever it may be, and we get attached to the things of this world very quickly. And we would rather have this or that. And you know, God says, you know what? Your heart isn't solely sold out for me. I can't hear you for that. Number three, broken vows. Jeremiah 11 verses 10 to 11. We'll talk about that. It talks about the children of Israel. They had broken their vows and they didn't care and they turned their backs on him. But you know, we made vows with God as well. Baptismal vows, church membership vows, marriage vows, ordination vows. God's desire is that we would keep these vows so that he can continue to hear us. Number four would be disobedience, which would be basically sin as well, but disobedience. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to God." Abomination, that's not a word that we use a lot, but it means disgusting or abhorrence. Idolatry was going after something instead of God, and that was an abhorrence, is an abomination to God. And when we do that, when we choose to do something opposite from what God wants in our life, you know, even our prayer can become an abomination to God. Number five, a proud heart, I think another thing, the prayer of the Pharisee. You know, God didn't hear that prayer of the Pharisee. I don't believe as he prayed and he, you know, we know the how the story goes, how the parable went. And Jesus gave that story of the Pharisee and the publican. And God is looking for a heart that is humble. That's the prayers that he can hear. God cares about our attitudes. And thank God for repentance and for his grace and for the work of his Holy Spirit in our life. I'm thankful for that. The different things that he has forgiven us. And we cry out like the publican, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me." God hears that. God wants to. He says, "I want to be open to you. I desire." And when we say, I desire revival in my life, a daily renewal of my relationships or every day, whatever it is. What is the criteria for prayer? Well, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." It's interesting. You know, we can be, there can be, or there could be, unholy. You can be unholy and be a dad or a mom. You can be unholy and you can teach. You can be unholy and lead songs. You can be unholy and counsel people. You can be unholy and share a testimony. You can be unholy and preach, and holy and dress conservative. But listen, you can't be unholy and have an active prayer life. It does not work. So as you think about that, you know, God wants us to be, our prayer life to be active. Our prayer life to be lifting up in holy adoration to God, lifting up holy hands. Hands that are sincere about asking God to help me in my life. I'm so glad that we don't have to be a certain age bracket. The youth, the middle age, the older people, whatever that may be, to ask for prayer. But, you know, it's important that we all do that. God, as we all reach out to God, when I hear old people, older people asking or saying, "Yeah, I'm going to pray for you." My grandparents tell me sometimes, you know, "Well, we pray for you every day." I'm like, wow, thank you. Did you think about that? Parents, those in the rest homes, older people, they can make such a difference yet in life. When a faithful old saint dies, many times the church has lost a strong prayer warrior. So the older men and women, be that prayer warrior. But you know what? That doesn't leave the rest of us off the hook either, right? It doesn't just get to that person by automatically. It takes a life of being a prayer warrior. Many a church, a family, a youth, a preacher has been dramatically affected because of the prayers of the saints. God loves to hear the cry of his children crying to him. Isaiah 65, verse 24, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." You know, I can just imagine God as he's sitting up there, sitting on his throne. I don't know what you get the picture of that as you think about that, but he's potentially listening to millions of prayers at a time, right? Praying at one time this evening. He doesn't have auto answering. He doesn't have all lines busy. You know, his lights on his phone lines aren't all busy. You know, we don't get the thing pressed 2 to leave a message. No. He is there. He is there ready to answer. He said, "I will answer even before you're done praying." Before we even call, God is there for us. That's our God. Praise God. We are so blessed with that. The song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," we sang, "All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And it goes down through there a lot of different wonderful things as you think about that. And so many times we choose to, it says everything, take him to God in prayer. Are we doing that this evening? Is that part of our life? No situation puts God in a bind. He's not caught off guard. He's not sitting there staying up all night, you know, wow, this is a big one. I'm going to have to figure this out. No, God's not God. He has it. He has the answers. That's almost a mockery to talk like that about God, because God and his wisdom and his greatness and his power, it's easy for him. He's there ready and ready to do that. The strength of prayer in the life of a Christian, as you think about that, the God that we are praying to is there for us. You know, so many times we allow ourselves or things to short out that power that we can have. You know, we wouldn't consider. So we're talking about prayer and the need for it and the vibrancy of it. We wouldn't consider trying to run, for us men, we wouldn't consider trying to run a 10-horsepower motor with a little 22-gauge wire, right? That would be like, poof, be out. It'd be burned off in no time flat. But sometimes I think that we think that we can run we can live our Christian life and we can have the power that God wants us to have by just running on just a thin line of prayer. Just a thin line of prayer. A little bit per day or maybe every other day or whatever it may be. God doesn't want that. That doesn't work. You know, prayer is a Christian's lifeline. We hear that often. You know, we have a few beef cattle at home. An electric fence. And it's hot. You know, cows hate fences, and people do too when you get shocked. But you let the cattle out in the spring. Maybe it's a nice young group of heifers or whatever it may be. And yes, whatever it is. And you're getting all ready there, and the boys, they check the fence and make sure, is it working? Yep, it's zapping away. And you test it, zap, zap, zap. Yep, it's working, Dad. Yep, it's good. And you let the animals out. And you know, there's something fun about watching a heifer, you know, get up to that fence, and you know, I don't know if they can smell electric or what it is, but they can just get to that point, and their wet noses, and maybe they reach their tongue out, and bam, they jump, right? They know that there's electric there. So they figure that out. But, you know, they also can figure out, I don't know how they figure this out, but they figure it out pretty quickly if that fence was not on, too, right? And before long, you have a calf under the fence, or you have a reaching way through, or what? I'm like, boys, what's going on? I mean, isn't it shocking, or what's happening? And only to find out that, yeah, someone unplugged it, and they forgot to plug it back in because they were fixing it, or whatever it may be. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we wonder why our Christian life is hard, and maybe it's because we aren't plugged in every day, right? We need to stay plugged in. We need the power. We need to have power there. There needs to be a zap going through our life, and that's going to come from God. As you think about that, God is a fence that is disconnected is powerless. It's useless. There's no protection. There's defensive or offensive, right? And for the Christians, the same way. We are not plugged in, and we have no power to us. Spiritual connection is lost. We are a lame duck. That's what we are for God. Prayer. We need to be connected. David prayed many prayers. Oh God, my God, unto thee do I cry. Lots of different prayers that he prayed. And you know what? God was there for him. He had a connection with God. That just amazes me over and over again. He had a connection with God, and he was there for him. I don't know the mountains that you're facing. Maybe you don't have any mountains here, but you know, the bills are stacking up, and health maybe sometimes not always the way it's supposed to be, or feelings of rejection or discouragement or whatever it may be, cranky children, sick children, relationships. It's amazing how big those mountains can get. But Isaiah 64 verse 1 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." And as we pray, God sometimes, he don't always take those mountains, but sometimes he will give us strength. Sometimes he levels those mountains. I've seen that. but he gives us strength. And as we cry out to him, he gives us power to climb those mountains, to face those mountains, whatever it may be. As you think about that, God is looking for people who are reaching out to him for strength for the day, strength for the week, strength for the moment. Thankful people. So people that are in need pray. Thankful people pray as well. And that's not always one of my strongest points. But you know, we are so blessed. There are many people living in the world all over that are way more deplorable conditions than we are. We are in the top 10%. You've heard this before, of the world. Of the world's wealth is sitting right here in Pennsylvania, New York, United States of America. And not even talking about the fact that we have freedom of religion and we have solid families and we have churches and schools and we have all the many things that we take for granted so often. And we could easily, at a minimum, spend at least a half an hour of prayer each day thanking God for what he has blessed us with. But I venture to say that probably barely, many of us sometimes barely put in 3 to 10 minutes per day. And maybe I'm talking just to myself here, but I think we need to think about that. A thankful people should be the people who are praying the most, actually. Burdened people pray. Those who have, there are many, those who are hurting around us, do we even care? Burdened people pray. Lost family members, customers, neighbors, whoever that may be. Children are bent arrows that need to be sent off correctly. We're burdened about that. Worldliness is creeping into our home and our churches. Are we burdened about that? Do we care? It can do that. Maybe it's lukewarmness in our churches. Are we burdened about that? Burdened people pray. They care. Intercessory prayer is so important. It takes so much time and dedication in our life. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23 says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." I thought about that. Are we actually sinning? Burdened people consider it a sin if they aren't praying. And that's what we should need to come down. We need to think about that. Intercessory prayer is such a critical part. We sin if we don't pray for our brothers and sisters and those around us. Your brothers and sisters need your prayers, and I need theirs as well. Jesus said, "My house shall be called what? A house of prayer." And I know he's talking about maybe this church building, or he was talking about the temple, but we are the dwelling place of God, right? This house shall be a house of prayer. A place that prayer is made every day. Many different things that we could talk about here. And I know in our challenging, busy schedules, it's hard to take time to pray, or it's hard to find time, maybe for mothers especially. For us as men, you know, things are happening. You know, from the minute we get up, things need to happen throughout the day. And I know what that's like. But God wants us to, first of all, sit down and take some time and pray. And I know we can pray throughout the day, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. But God is looking for people who kneel down and pray. We sing songs like "Sweet Hour of Prayer." When was the last time you spent an hour of praying? Think about that. Maybe you have. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who did. I don't know that I did. Okay. And I'm not saying that we absolutely have to pray, but thinking about that, how much time have we spent doing all the other things that we do, right? If you think about that, an hour of prayer. Many times, I was reading here, according to Barna, the average Christian prays about 4 to 6 minutes a day. So if you're burdened, depressed, or fainting throughout the day, what does God think of this? 4 to 6 minutes. But they say preachers do a whole lot better at a whole whopping 7 to 10 minutes, okay? So that gets a little bit better. Wow, what kind of sermons do you think we'll hear of a preacher who prays 7 minutes? Probably not. Yeah. You know, again, we do mostly what is important to us. Can we spend 20 minutes three times a day? You know, we spend 20 minutes three times a day eating to feed our physical body, right? And we can only spend a few minutes praying to God for our spiritual nourishment. And God bless you if that is alive and well in your life. But I know that I have room to grow in that. And I think I need to cry out to God and ask him, "Lord, help me to have a desire to pray and to have a relationship." But that is the key to revival as we do that. to communicate and ask him for what we've done, and what he can do in our life. Think about it. You know, we sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We sing that different times. A friend that we can talk to. If you have a friend, you know, years ago when you didn't have cell phones and you didn't text and WhatsApp and all these things, you would talk to people face to face more, right? Hopefully we still do, but you talk to them face to face. And you would talk to them every day and you would ask a lot of things. We got to know people very well. Sad to say, digital age has changed some of that. But, you know, we told them everything, what we did, and what were our struggles and our victories and our challenges, and we would tend to share more with other people, right? And we understood when there was something wrong, we could tell that something was wrong. How is it with our relationship with God as we pray? Do we pray every day? Do we come to him with those desires? Or can God tell that there's something wrong in our life? Jesus wants us to pray. There's a couple different songs that I thought of here, but I just need to close here. A few reasons why I don't pray, maybe it's spiritual laziness, a lack of concern, probably. We say we're busy, but busyness has nothing to do with more than just spiritual laziness, I would think. Because we've chosen to put something more important than our prayer life. Spiritual laziness is a discipline problem. It takes perseverance to pray. And I recognize that. That's very, very, very true. It takes that in our life. And pride is another reason, maybe, that we think that, well, we can handle it. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Why the if and why not when? When, my people? Well, maybe it's because we're iffy people, right? We're very iffy. We don't always do the things that we would like to do, or we think we know we should do, probably, sometimes. God help us to do that. If we seek God like that this week, God will give us a blessing in our lives. Lord, lead me today. Guide me. Give me strength is our prayer. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to find victory. Give me a burden for you, a burden to follow you. If it is our priority, we pray. We seek his face daily. We turn from our failures and we embrace godly change. Then what happens? Then God hears from us. He will forgive and he heals. And that's a wonderful thing. That's revival, folks, as you think about that. It's exciting. But you know what? He can give us power, but you know what? You and I need to plug into that power and get alive. And stay to keep it alive. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search me with all your heart." I trust throughout this week that we're going to search God with all our heart. And we asked him what he's done in our life. You know, this song here, "How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him a friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bread and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answered you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt the day's worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?" As I was thinking about that, you know, God knows our prayer life. You know your own prayer life. I know my own prayer life as well. You know, areas where I can grow, where you can grow. And I thought about, you know, we use spreadsheets a lot of times for a lot of things. You put a lot of input, a lot of information into spreadsheets. And you can have this, you can take it out and you can put things in and you can total it and you can average it and all these things at the end. What if God did a spreadsheet? Or what if he had a spreadsheet and one line said prayer time and how many minutes we spend each day? And another one said screen time. How would that show up at the end of the bottom there, at the end of a week, end of a day, end of a week? We think about that. I just want to read in closing here one one poem here. I'm sure you heard this before. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. My soul should rest at ease. All day long, I had no time to spread a word of cheer. No time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need, but at last, the time to die. I went before the Lord. I came, I stood with downcast eyes. For in his hands, God held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, "Your name I cannot find." I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. We wouldn't want God to do that with us, I trust. Let's not let him down. Let's seek him with our heart. As we go throughout this week, prayer is the key to revival. If we want to have revival in our hearts, we're going to have to reach out to him. So may God help us this week. And you know your heart. I know my heart. God knows your heart. Where you've been, where you find yourselves. Let's reach out to him this week in prayer. Not just this week, but throughout our lives as we continue to reach out to him. God is looking for people who are sold out to him. May God help us to be that. I'm not going to give an invitation this evening here, but look at your own life. I think all of us, at least myself included, I could use some brushing up, and I could use some reaching out, understanding who God is and reaching out to him. And if we want to have revival in our hearts, we need to have a prayer life that is vital. We need to be plugged in to him. May God help us. Come praying tomorrow evening, and we'll see what God has for us throughout this week. You know, it's one of those things, you look at a week of revivals, and you're like, wow, I got 8 messages. What should I preach? Then you start thinking, wow, I have too many messages. What should I not preach? So pray that God would bring what we need in our hearts. Let's be open to him, and God bless you as you go throughout your evening, your day tomorrow. Why don't we stand?